in prayer. Thank you, Lord, to bring us here to come to you safely this morning. We ask you for your mercy and grace to cover our sin so that our prayer will reach you. Help us to put down our pride and be humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to listen to your words and to practice what you teach us. Your servant here asks for your strength to speak clearly so that brothers and sisters could understand. And may you appreciate our worship to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as thank you, Linda, to lead the song to continue to pray. And this is what my sermon mainly, the point is to continue to pray. And today I'm going to share Psalm 3. As Daniel read, this psalm, it is written by David when he fled from his son Absalom. So you may wonder, if you're not very familiar with the history of David's, back in David's time, so I'll give you a little bit of background. So this psalm is written when he fled from his son Absalom. So when did King David flee? And it is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 15 to 17. I don't think we have time to go through the two chapters or three chapters this morning, but I'll just give you a short summary. So in that, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 10 to 12, there, it is a conversation between Nathan and King David. Nathan rebuked David after he sinned against God. And David, at that time, he committed adultery with one of his soldiers' wife. And that's what Nathan told him. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. So after David committed adultery, and Nathan got the word from God and told David that what he did was wrong, and this is what he told David. And after David hear about that, he confessed and admitted his wrong deeds. It's not only that, like, he just, oh yeah, sorry, what I did, right? It's not that. His attitude is different. He's, like, feeling very sorry from the deep of his heart. And he even wrote another psalm, Psalm 51, which you may all aware of, that he wrote it after he aware that he sinned against God. In Psalm 51, 17, He said that he begged the Lord for forgiveness. And he said, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Sometimes even you have sinned against God and you may be ashamed to pray to God. And according to here in Psalm 51, David take all his heart to pray to God to ask for forgiveness. But does it mean that what Nathan told David back in 2 Samuel, that is not going to happen? No, it is going to happen because that's what God told him, that because you sin against me, this is what is going to happen. So we can looking back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 10, it says, Therefore the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah, the Hittites to be your own. And this is what the Lord says. Out of your own household. Here, out of your own households means that is his son Absalom. Absalom is going to trying to take away his throne and trying to take away the country from David. And then he said, I am going to bring calamity on you. So this is what happened in 2 Samuel, chapter 15 to 17. So if you are interested, and I encourage you to go back home to read on these 2 to 3 chapters to see what actually David suffered. And it says, before your eyes, and then I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight, which happened in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 21 to 22. That was the description of what happened. And it was happening during the daylight that all the Israel around aware of that. So, as I said, even though David confessed and admitted his wrong, he has to face his consequence of sin. Whatever Nathan told him, it happened. And David has to run away from his throne and his palace to hide from his son Absalom. And then during that time, David wrote Psalm 3 during his runoff. And Psalm 3 is a prayer request. And David was asking God to save him from his son. And let's look at the Psalm. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, it says, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? So this is what did David see at this moment when he see that, like, who are his foes? Who are his enemies? So we can see that, like, obviously that his enemy will be his son, Absalom. And also, when you read about the details, it's not only Absalom himself. Some of his followers, his soldiers, was kind of like changing their mind not to follow David, but to follow Absalom. So there is some other people that were siding with Absalom to try to hurt David. And in verse 2, is many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. So in verse 2, we can see that what did David hear? He can hear a lot of people that discouraging him, saying that, oh, because he sinned against God, God is not going to help him out this time. And this is the end of his kingdom. And he's going to be killed by his son, and his son going to take away his throne and take away his kingdom. And people are saying these things to try to make God's servants feeling bad and feeling discouraged, and try to mock the God and mocking God and mocking his servant. In verse 1 and 2, this is what David's lead. He needs what he see, his danger, his enemies are immediate enemy are the people that is trying to take away his throne and to take away his kingdom. So I'm trying to apply this psalm to ourselves, like here in these days. In either you're in school or in at work or among friends, do you find that you have any needs to ask God, who are your enemies? Who are your foes? When we are in troubles, it seems like that we will be seeing all the enemies in front of us. And like in verse 2, we'll be hearing a lot of things that will discourage us. Maybe some people are gossiping about you. Some hardship at work that you may not be able to handle. Or in this bad economy that you're not able to do something that what you want to do because of lack of finance, lack of money, or lack of your health. Or there's something that is not going your way. So these could be your enemies that around you. And what you hear is all the discouragement and the failed story about what people did and all the critiques that you have been doing. These things will be encouraging you to carry on. And also scares of uncertainty and weakness of ourselves, because I'm sure that we know ourselves very well, that like what are our weaknesses. is and what can we do and what we are not able to do. So we, when we face our troubles and face our enemy, we see all this like adversity against our plan. So what can we do about that? So let's see what did David do to when he faced this, when he faced his enemies. In verse 3, it says, "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head high." Shield in here means a protector or protection. In Psalm chapter 7, verse 10, and here David also said that, "My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart." So to him, to David, he knows that God is always his protection. God is always protecting him. So he's not going to worry about it. And in bestow glory, and glory is something that we cannot claim ourselves. Glory is something that is to be given to you from somebody that is higher up. Like God, like he will give glory to us if we do something that glorify him. It's something that we, by us, we do something and get the glory. And the human glory, it is not really a glory. It will not be able to like go forever. It's only the glory that from God can go forever. And then in verse back to Psalm 3, verse 3. And it said, lift up head high. We can lift our head high because of grace. When can we lift our head high? Because remember when you were young, maybe you did something wrong. When your mom and dad tell you that you did something wrong, your head is always like putting down, right? Because you feel shame or you feel bad and you feel sorry that your head is always down. When can we lift up our head? It's sometimes that we can... it's sometime that we can really not ashamed of what we did and able to face somebody higher up or back that time during David's time. So they will not be able to, when people go to see a king, they will not be able to lift their head high until they say that, okay, you are allowed to lift your head up to see me. So this is a kind of grace that it is coming up from high above and show that you are not ashamed and you are allowed to do it. And also you do it with a hope and you do it with hope too, because when you don't have hope and you don't have the grace, you know, you won't be able to lift your head high. In verse 4, it said, "I cry out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain." Cry out, very often is that it is like cry out a prayer to God and ask him for deliverance. This holy hill means that it's Jerusalem at that time, where the God's temple is located at. Jerusalem is the place where the Lord's sanctuary is, and it is the earthly counterpart of his heavenly throne. So it is where that he's governed and where he's ruled the world. So he answered the prayer from his own throne. So it is from where that he has the power and he has the rules on it. So in verse 3 and 4, this is how David claimed the victory for this war song. David has confidence in God, and he knows that God does not fail, has not been failing to answer his prayers. God's word is his shield and is his glory, and he can put his head up because he knows that he has protection, he will have a victory, and he has hope in God. What kind of word that David has it in his mind, and we can take a look at that to keep him has this like pump up with all this confidence. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9, this is what God's promise to David. God said, I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. So even though David sinned, but that is what God has promised him before. So God's word is unfailing. And so he promised David to be with him all the time and cut off all his enemies. So God will do that for him. So we can see it from before in Psalm 18. This is the psalm that David wrote after he was saved from the hand of Saul. In Psalm 18, verse 1, he said, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Here, the shield also means the protection, and the horn will be the strength of what David needs to win that battle. And later on in another psalm, Psalm 46, it also talks about that, what God's strength and power can do. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it said, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-pleasant help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. So from looking up all these psalms and the history, that God really, David really can hold on to God with his confidence because all the words from God. So we, as pastor, encourage us most all the time that we have to spend times on the Bible, that we have to study the word of God ourselves. And also we have to pray like David did in verse 4. He cried out to the Lord and God will help him out from his throne. And in here, David prayed to God by himself. But for us, we are in a different situation. We don't have to do it on our own. We can always have another option of praying with our brothers and sisters. And like in Matthew 18, verse 19, Matthew 18, verse 19, it says, again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. And we can always pray for ourselves at home, but there's nothing wrong that we ask our brothers and sisters or our friends or your prayer partner to pray with you for what you need. And you can do it on Wednesday night, come here for the prayer meeting, and also you can stay behind after the Sunday worship, after the Chinese Sunday worship to do that. And it's not only that, that pray for yourself. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it's also encourage us to pray for each other. It's not only for your friends, but also for the other brothers and sisters in the church, or some of the friends that they are not coming to the church that they may also need your prayer. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing but out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So we can do it at home ourselves. We can do it at church with our prayer parlor, or you can do it at the prayer meeting so that we will be able to hear some of the people sharing and prayer requests so that we can do the part of the prayer work. I'm thankful that, and I'm grateful that, like, when I came for the prayer meeting, Pastor John and also my prayer partners pray for my needs. And I'll share with you what that they pray for and like what my needs and what I see God in there. I see what God's work in there. So in Let's carry on with Psalm chapter 3. So this is how David responds to his troubles in verse 5 and 6. And David said, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. And in verse 6, I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. So I don't know when you lost your sleep last time. Do you remember? Or you are too anxious that the school is going for outing tomorrow. So you're so excited you can't sleep. Or whether you're going for a job interview the next day that you're so anxious that you can't sleep because you worry too much. But in this trouble, even though he is he's fleeing from his son, his enemy, and he's still able to lay down and sleep and wake again. So this shows that he is very calm, and I have to admit that I don't have that faith as David. I'm so nervous whenever I have something that come in front of me that I will not be able to sleep. Like if I'm going for a job interview the next day, I won't be able to sleep. I'm so worried. This is one thing that I need to work on. And he can sleep and wake up, and he can lay down, sleep, and wake up because he knows that Lord is watch out for him and preserves him. He has faith and confidence in God. Like in Psalms 34, verse 6, so David really have God's word in his mind and in his heart, in his soul. In Psalm 34, verse 6, it says, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. And verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. So God will ask his whole tribe of angels to protect whoever fear God and whoever ask God for help. And I said my response to my troubles is I'm always worried. At the beginning of the year, I was worried because of the bad economy that I would not be able to sell my house, which was, my house was listed last year for 3 months and it wasn't a go. And that is the house issue. And then the other one is I was worried about my health, my work, and also my church life. Because of the economy that I, as the job that I'm working, I will not be laid off. But what they do is they will not replace whoever that like leave the job, like for a retirement or sick leave or whatever. They're not, like the boss is not going to replace that. So it makes us work even harder. And it makes us more difficult to ask for a day off if I need it. And from last year, actually, we changed the schedule of my work change January 2015. And in the whole year of it will be 2016, January. Okay, January 2016. In the whole year of 2016, I was able to 2015, I was able to get most of my Sunday off by just like asking for time off for that, and I would be still able to come to church. But because of the tight of the budget, they're not going to have so many people around, and it will not be able to for me to ask for Sunday off. And believe me, if you are in a job that don't have to work Sunday, you better say thanks and count your blessing for that. And so I was in kind of like struggle to see like what kind of job that I have to apply to get me out of this situation in order not to affecting my church life and my worship to God. And I was trying to do so many things that there's no way out at all. So I have, because of my work, the repetition of the work that the joint of my hands is getting worse, and it comes to a point that it's painful that I have to take a painkiller for that. So the brothers, the sisters, the prayer partner, of me at the prayer meeting, we prayed for that for more than a year. And I'm still looking for some light through the tunnel to see what my plans should be going, what my work should be going. And so I was not knowing, I do not know what God's plan is, and I don't know what I can do about it. But at that time, God gave me a verse in Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 18. It says there, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So I was seeking God for guidance and leading. At the same time, was praying. So about praying, that I was praying about the job for more than a year. And I was praying about the house for, like, since springtime of 2015, I was planning to sell the house. So I was praying for that for a long time. And I kind of discouraged that I don't know when God will answer the prayer as what I pray for. And one thing. And second is, I don't know whether God's answer is really answer my prayer according to what I asked for. He could have another plan for me to go. So I was just waiting for God to show me what's the waiting. And okay, so I will come to the story again. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 3, verse 7. So this is what the result of David's prayer. In verse 7, it is another prayer, another cry out from David. He said, "Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked." Arise here is a calling for immediate action. So it is an urge that, God, help me right now, immediately, at once. I want to know, I want to save from my enemy. That's what David is asking for. And this is also a response to, a request response to verse 2 that he had it above. That, like he said in verse 2, it is, remember what we said in verse 2? And this is what David was hearing. He heard people saying that God will not deliver him this time. God will not deliver him. But here, David asked God to strike all his enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked, so they cannot speak properly. Without the teeth, the people cannot speak properly. They cannot mock or fight back anymore. So this is what David asked for. And in verse 8, and you can see that from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. So deliverance, especially within the spiritual warfare, it has to come from Lord. And our salvation also come from Lord only. And in here, at the end of the psalm, David put the end with the blessings to others. So just like in Psalm 29, in verse 10, in there, it says that the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So for the house issue, that because I was not able to sell it last year after listing for 3 months, I didn't have much. By looking at the downward of the economy, I don't have much confidence of selling it this year. But it's so, to my surprise, that Pastor John prayed for my house selling in May. I have it written down in the Bible, as he told me to. In May, I was looking at that, it's really impossible. Last year, the economy is much better than this year. And how could I sell the house? And because last year, when it is up for 3 months, it gave me so much stress that I actually hate to list the house again. It's so much work and so much trouble and so much stress. And so, but because Pastor John is praying for me, and I think, okay, maybe I should do something to work with God and work with Pastor. So I'm preparing the house to put it up on the market in June. So at the beginning of July, I think, no, in the middle of July, that I have it listed. And in the first week, first Sunday after I listed the house, I have seven people. I have two people come to see it in on Saturday, and I have seven people came to see it on Sunday. So I was thinking, okay, that's good. Maybe this is what God wants me to learn. I am going to sell. I will be able to sell the house right away. But then it quieted down in the second week, and there's only one person came to see the house on the next Sunday. And the third week, it is nothing at all. So I was praying to God. I said, okay, what am I doing now? It's just so stressful to make sure that, I don't know whether you sell a house before. It is very trouble, and you have to make sure that you clean up the house every day. Make sure that all the towels and all the garbage, everything is tidy, and nothing on the counter, and everything is tidy. The kitchen has been neat and tidy, and you have to keep it every day. And you have to make sure it's done before you leave the house every morning. So it is very, it's a lot of work. And I was praying to God that I said, like, it's only 3 weeks and I'm tired already. And I don't know how long that I can, like, continue with that. And I can't do anything about it. So I have nothing to proud of, because I was praying to God that I said, God, like, I cannot do anything about that. I cannot proud of myself. I cannot proud of my house. I cannot do anything. So it ended up that come to the August long weekend that I went to Mount Robson to camp, and as I always like to do it on the long weekend. And over there, there's no service of Wi-Fi or phone or whatever. So I'm kind of pretty cut out from the city. And we just finished after we did the long hike on the mountain, and we went to the visitor center to use the washroom. And then my friend said, hey, Wendy, there's Wi-Fi here. Let's check out our connection. And then when we check it out, and I noticed that my agent has been trying to get hold of me, she said that there's an offer, which came to see my house on Friday, which is the day that I left for my camping already, and I didn't know that somebody came to my house to see it. And he said that you better get back to me, because the offer is only good till Sunday at noontime. And I say, okay, then I will email her, but I say I'm in the middle of nowhere and I really can't come back to make any decision. Can you extend it one more day? She said, no, it has to be done right at this moment. So that was like Saturday, 5 o'clock, and the visitor center is closing at 7. So I have less than 2 hours. And then she kind of emailing each other to see, okay, what is the deal? Is it okay? And then we have counter offer over the email and stuff, back and forth. And she said, I have to sign the paper even before noon on Sunday. I said, like, how can I? Like, I don't know much about, like, computer or online thing. She said, well, we can sign the paper online. I say, how? I don't know. And then she showed me all the paperwork and all the detail of the offer. Then I just signed it and signed all the, I think that's like maybe 20 pages of all the like document that I have to sign and go through it. I did it. And I just did it 5 minutes before the visitor center closed up. That after I done the deal, and then I leave the visitor center and they closed the door for me. So they, okay. So when I went back to the camp site, I shared with my friends and they said that, oh, Wendy, you're just so blessed by the Lord. And I think so. And then it was a very, like, it's all done within, I knew the news, and then it was all done within like 2 hours. And it is, I can see that this is not my work and this is God's work. And without his blessing, I don't think that, like, if I'm not going into the visitor washroom, that I won't be able to see this email until I went back home the next day. So God blessed me with this. And, like, so in August, I was, like, trying to get the things done and organize and pack and move to the new place and stuff. So it was a very joyful experience from God. And this is what God heard my prayer. And the second prayer that I've been praying for more than a year is regarding my health, my work problem. And I was trying to see what is the way out for it. And since the first day I finished my high school, I'm in a nursing profession, and I don't know what else I can do. Like, I know nothing except nursing. So it's impossible, huh? So I don't know what else I can do. Like, if in this professional that I have to work shift, and I don't know what to do. So I try to, with the new scheduling that I have to work 7 days in a row without any day off, and then like 8 hours every day, 7 days in a row, and then 2 days off and then 6 days in a row. And it will be, first, it will be very tiring. Second, it will affect my church life. And because, as I said, that like with the new scheduling, there's no way that I'll be able to get Sunday off every other week. So I was trying to look for the job posting and try to apply for another job. And I did that. And there was one temporary job that I can like keep my present schedule till November. So I applied for that, and with the grace of God, that I got that job. So I don't have to worry about my scheduling until November. In the meantime, I was busy trying to get my house things settled. And so after I moved in September, I think, okay, it is closer to November, and I have to really have to look for a new job. And so I checked it out, and there was one job posting that like I applied for it, and I went for an interview. And I didn't get an offer for that job. And the manager told me that, Wendy, I wish I would hire you, but because I only hire one person, and you will not be the first choice because of the reasons. So I said, okay, so this is not the job that God gave to me. So I'm trying to apply for another one. The other one is not really a nursing job. It's more like an office job that it doesn't have anything to do with patient care, which is not really my wish. Because to me, as a nurse, I would like to do something that is like bedside care, like patient care with the patient, instead of just working with the computer and with the paper. But anyway, because it's a Monday to Friday job, I applied for it. I went through the interview, and I didn't get that job offer. Well, okay, sorry, I forgot about that. The first job that I applied for, it, I didn't get offer because it was it is a job that at the ALEC, which is not really I want to, because from my place to the ALEC, it takes at least a good half an hour drive every day, one way. So I'm not really want to go there, but God didn't offer that job for me. And the second one is a more a clerical work, but they required nursing professional. I don't know why, but anyway, I didn't get that job, probably because God thinks that it is not really what he wants me to have. So it's getting close, and then there was another, this is a third job that I was thinking to apply, but I was kind of like debating it. I wasn't really want to go because it says it's a Grey Nuns Hospital. From my place to Grey Nuns, it is from the west to the east. So I don't really go there, but I guess in this situation, I think God will give me blessing and grace if he really want me to have this job. So I applied for it on Friday, the end of the day. And so, because it was closing on Sunday. So I got the phone call from the manager on Monday morning and asked me, the secretary of the manager asked me to go for an interview on Tuesday. I said, oh, wait a minute, it's too soon. I haven't had time to talk to the manager yet. I want to discuss with her. Is it really a job that is like going to be at Grey Nuns? I don't really go that far. If it is that, then I will not come for an interview. But then the manager said, oh, no, come for interview. I would like to interview you, and we'll talk about that. It can be discussed and we can be arranged. So I said, okay. So I go for the interview on Tuesday. That was beginning of October already. I go to the interview on Tuesday, and then it went very well. And then on Thursday, that I got a call from her, said that I got an offer for that job. And it also that she said that it will be out of the U of A site instead of going to Grey Nuns. But in the meantime, I still have to go to Grey Nuns maybe a couple or few days in a month to do something in the OR over there. So I said, well, that's good. So that was like really solved my problem that within, it happened within a week that from what when I applied to when I got a job, it's happened within a week. And it was happening in the middle, at the beginning of October. And I told the manager that like I have my vacation booked in November. But I won't be able to start my job until the end of November. Is that okay? And she said, oh yeah, it's okay. So before I finish my temporary position and I go for my vacation and I come back, I go into my new rotation right now. So I can see that it is such a smooth transition for me. And so far, I've been liking my new job with the new hours. And I still have to do a lot of adjustment of my own life too, because as I graduate, since I graduate, I never work on a regular schedule. So I have to train my body back to a normal person's life. I still hate to go to do my grocery on Saturday and Sunday. Oh, this is what I hate. It's so busy. But I guess I have to, this is a blessing. I'll count it as a blessing from God. And it's, and also the manager, she told me that, she said, I hire you because of three reasons. The first reason is I like your experience. And I can see that my experience is not really something that I own. Without God's grace, that I would not have this, I could be out of job and I could not have this kind of experience accumulated in my resume. Second, she said, I like your interview. During the interview, I like your critical thinking and decision making and problem solving skill. And this is not my, I didn't own this skills, because this is what God gave me. I think that like for all this year that I was working, that I have to be in charge of the unit and things like that to get me practice and get me prepared for all these kind of skills that I have. And she said, and last, I like your temperament. And I have to admit that when I look through my temperament, my temperament, that I think God did a lot of work on my temperament. I can say that I changed a lot in these years that I go to church and read the Bible. And it's nothing that it can be changed overnight, and it's nothing that it can be done by ourselves. It has to be come from God, and I would say that there's a lot of sufferings, and there's a lot of humble myself of that. So I think if you want to have blessings from God, that we can do it as what David says in Psalm 3, that we have to pray, and we have to, when we know that when somebody tells you that you sin against God, you have to repent from the bottom of your heart, and you have to change your behavior in order to get the blessing. And to conclude this sermon, as David goes through this prayer, he sees his enemies, he hears his enemies, but he's not concentrate. He doesn't pay much attention to them. What he concentrate is he concentrate on asking God for deliver. And after that, he has full confidence in God that he can lay down, he can sleep, and he wake up again, and he knows that God will sustain him. We should learn from him that we can still hear from what people are saying, all the discouragement, all the critiques, all the sad stories, all the so-called experiments, all the life experience, and we can still see all the enemies in front of us. But we should learn from David that we don't pay much attention to them, but pay more attention to his word, his promises, and his prayer. And to hold on his promises and pray. like Psalm 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And I am so grateful that I'll be able to share the story with you. I don't know whether you feel interesting or not, but this is what God has done for me. And if you found that God has did something grateful for you, and you don't keep it to yourself. Just like in Psalm 26, verse 7, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. So it my feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. And also in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So I think this is what God wants us to do is he wants each of us to taste and see what he has done for us and what is good from him. And we can take refuge in him whenever we need it. And the last questions that I want to ask you is, how will you know that when your prayer is answered? Does it see that, like verse 7, that you see that your enemy's teeth are gone and the jaw is struck by God? Or whether that you don't see that and you still think that the God answered your prayer in another way, in a way that is not what you planned it, is not what you're asking for, but there's some other plan that God wants to show you his way. And what if God gives you an answer that is different from what you're asking for? Are you able to accept it? How were you able to accept it? And how were you able to accept it and carry on with what God planned for you? And this is what I'm happy to share today. And let's bow our head and pray. Dear God, we say praise to you. We thank you for so many things that you have done for us. When we count our blessings, we really appreciate a lot what you did for us. And no matter whether there's blessings that we're suffering or the blessings is pure blessings, we still precious those. We ask you to help us to practice our prayer. We practice our prayer like David that have so many songs that he written up to pray for you, for your help and to praise you. We ask you to help us to understand your will and teach us how to pray according to your will and show us the way that you want us to be. And walk in the way with you and in you and according to your will. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.